I'm Christine Dean, and this is a virtual edition of Live from Studio A. And I'm very happy to be talking to someone who I think I had in the studio a very long time ago. I remember talking to you, Ellis, back when you were still just Ellis. but now you're going by Ellis Delaney, right? Welcome.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. How long have you been, when did you add Delaney onto the end of your name?
Well, I got married probably about, I don't know. My wife would be very upset with me that I don't know. It's maybe like we've been together almost 20 years, but probably about 10 years ago. And then, you know, around that time, we decided that we would take the same name. And Delaney is a family name of mine. And she didn't like my last name, Bergeron, and I didn't like her last name in terms of wanting to have it. And so Delaney was the winner. And and Ellis Delaney has a nice ring to it anyway. And so I kind of always thought if I needed to use my last name, you know, that would be a great option. And it turns out that I'm so much easier to find in the world if I have a last name.
Well, that works out well. and you have been in the music world for a long time now. Is it fair to call you a veteran of the music scene?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm definitely, you know, this is my 10th record that I've got that just came out this year. And I think that's when you get to the double digits of recording, you know, it's like, wow, I've been doing this a while. And I still have so much that I want to do and that I feel I have to learn. And, you know, it definitely doesn't feel like the end of my journey, but I definitely feel like I've been in this world for a while.
And so you've learned a lot of things, but you still feel like you have things to learn. That seems like kind of a sweet spot to be in.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, definitely.
And the reason I was asking you that is because I, as a person who grew up with vinyl and, you know, watched the beginning of CDs and everything, I'm always curious about people who've been in the music business for a while, and you've been through all these changes, and so many things have changed in how you make a living and how you make your music and all just the technology and all of that. So I'm curious what that's been like for you, having to navigate the new way the music world works.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. And I think it's been a struggle to get there to the exciting part, just because, you know, there is, when change happens, it's disruptive, right? And there's been a lot of change in the music industry consistently that I think musicians like myself, we're learning how to go with the flow. Either that or we get a day job, you know? And I've got a lot of really wonderful fans who love what I do and want me to do it more and want me to continue making records. And so I've found a way to have my community of people come with me along for the ride in a way that helps sustain what I'm doing. And I think that's through micro patronage, you know, like Patreon. I have a Patreon, the platform Patreon. I have fans, patrons, people who are supporting me every month to make art, to create. And then I have the Kickstarters that I can do for projects when I'm in the process of making a record or something like that. So those two supporters have been really huge for me in terms of allowing me to continue making music. And I think that's the case for a lot of people. I think now it's just figuring out the online show. How do you make an online show really such a wonderful experience for the audience? And I think with Concert Window, that was the way that I was connecting with folks in the past, and that was really great. And Concert Window, you know, it folded right before the epidemic, and so I'm still looking for the right platform. But Facebook Live is a great way. It sounds very good, but it's all just it's you know, how do we tour without touring, you know? That's really what we're all trying to figure out. Because, I mean, the in-person connection is the thing that, you know, it really, it matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, and especially with you, you seem to have a good relationship with your fans. Well, I want to talk more about that, but why don't we hear a song first? So the one of the reasons we're talking to you is because you have a new album out. It just came out in earlier this month. It's called Ordinary Love. And do you want to play something from that for us or something else? Or
yeah. Well, I'd love to play from my new record. You know, this song that I'm going to play for you now is a song that I wrote before COVID and before, you know, all of the sort of revealing of what the underbelly once again of our society with George Floyd's murder. It's I feel like this song is you know, the weight of the world can be so heavy right now. In particular, we're waking up to the heaviness and gosh, you know, the small joys, the things that we can, you know, the resilience that's available to us in everyday joy is so important, I think, now more than ever, you know. This is called Pie for Breakfast. Sometimes you have pie for breakfast. Sometimes you gotta bend the rules. Maybe you laugh when it's time to cry. Maybe you cry when things are good. It's all right if you wanna dance. And if you don't, that's all right too. You can do right by the world and still be true to you. Strange days we're living in, like some kind of dream. We got the world in our pocket, popping up on a little screen. I've got a distracted mind, wrapped up in a restless heart. How do we break free to see the lighter side of the way things are? Yes. Or maybe a little pie for breakfast. Sometimes you gotta bend the rules. Maybe you laugh when it's time to cry. Maybe you cry when things are good. It's all right if you wanna dance. And if you don't, that's all right too. You can do right by the world and still be true to you. I've been around a little while, had a few ups and downs, feel like I'm running in place, trying to find steady ground. There must be a reason why shadows follow the sun. Shadow at my back, I look ahead for that light to lead me on, yeah. Oh, and there are many troubles in this world, and I want to do my part to help the bigger picture. What do I want to teach my little girl? The golden rule, respect is love and to remember. Well, sometimes you have pie for breakfast. Pie for breakfast, yeah. And they have all kinds of pie, you know. Pie for breakfast. They've got gluten-free pie, you know. Pie for breakfast, yeah. Sugar-free protein pie for breakfast. Oh, yeah.
That is Ellis here in this virtual live from Studio A with a track from her Ordinary Love album that just came out earlier this month. And not only a strange time to have an album coming out because of COVID, of course, but then George Floyd's death in Minneapolis. And you live fairly close to where he was murdered, right?
Yep, I live 8 blocks away.
And you have been kind of active in some of the protests. And so it's, you know, it's such a, tell me about what that's like, having this album ready to go and being in this time that is so momentous, and I don't know the right adjectives to describe it, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do feel weird.
That's a good adjective for everything, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a strange thing to have this record that I've worked, you know, a couple years on, really, and be so excited for people to hear it and to have joy and excitement colliding with grief and anger, you know, wanting to, you know, sort of anger in the motivation, like mobilization, kind of feeling like, oh, you know, I need to, oh my gosh, what have I been doing? Like, I need to, you know, I need to connect with my community more. I need to, gosh, you know, I've been so self-absorbed, you know, that I really, I feel, what could I have done to, you know, keep that death from happening, you know, to keep George Floyd from, you know, it's like, and what can I do to keep future young Black men from being in danger? You know, it's like as a person in the community who may have, you know, some sway with my neighbors, with, you know, politicians that, you know, listen to folks who are homeowners, you know, just trying to understand and navigate the moment that we're in with my full heart. And so to feel that and to feel so the embodiment of that movement in my heart and mind and body, you know, I just feel like, oh, now we got to do some, I got to learn more. I got to listen more. I got to take part more. I want to. And then to have this record that is really about me, you know, look over here, you know, it's like almost, and then I think, no, wait, no, this is actually the perfect time for this record because it's all about love and in all the different forms that it comes through. You know, it's not just about loving a lover. There's some of that in there. It's not about just about loving your kids, you know, or the kind of love between a parent and a child, you know, that's in there. It's not just about losing someone that you love and that you're missing them. That's in there. You know, it's not just about really loving life. You know, that's also in this record, or about simple joys, which is just what I played just now with Pie for Breakfast. But there's also there are a few tunes in there that talk about personal responsibility, you know, and how we can really step into our role in the community, in the world with love. You know, action is a form of love. So, I just keep thinking about that. You know, it's like love is also calling your Congress member or your council member is what I was thinking of, you know, especially right now, you know, just thinking about our council people and our representatives here locally and what we can do to help shape what's going to be happening here locally. You know, it's an act of love.
Well, and I would have to say, yes, the album actually does feel very timely because of that, because of some of the themes that are already in there. And that's not new to you. You've always had, you know, kind of themes of social justice and things like that, haven't you?
Yeah. You know, mostly I would say yes to that, and mostly coming through Dharma, mostly coming through seeing things as they are, you know, my spiritual practice of really wanting to understand suffering and the heart and how do we really care for ourselves and others in a way that is, that matters, that actually cares for ourselves and others, you know, like how can we be in this moment with each other in a way that's authentic and that's precious? It's precious, this life, you know? And so that's really where I've been coming from. But in the last, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years, I've been doing this, weekly, embodiment group, but basically for the last couple of years we've been really working with this book called My Grandmother's Hands by Rezma Minikim. And I don't know if you've heard of this book, but it is, for me, it has been really life-changing in terms of how I understand racial tension or racial trauma in our society and how it relates to me as a white-bodied person. That's Rezma Minikim talks about white bodies and Black and brown bodies, indigenous bodies, and police blue bodies, and talking about, you know, each body as, you know, being affected by historical trauma and present-day trauma, and how do we navigate that without it being about me personally, Ellis. You know, how can I see myself as part of this culture, part of this community of people who have really valued white bodies, lighter colored bodies, even wealthy bodies above people who, you know, are darker skin, you know, black in particular, black. And you know, and how do I understand and navigate that without defensiveness, you know, just to really be curious, you know, how can I really see more clearly so that I can show up in a way that is going to support the system changing, because we've got a lot of things in place, a lot of rules, a lot of, you know, sort of, I guess I should say laws more than rules, but laws and structures in place that are racist, you know, that are really about advantaging some people and disadvantaging others. And it's just, that's just the truth. Like, if you look closer at our history and where things come from and where they are right now, there's a direct line between the poverty of black families, you know, and all of the ways that the system has impoverished them, or looking at black communities and the ways that, you know, highways have gone through communities and, you know, split people up and made it more difficult. And so as a person who has benefited from being white, you know, it's really natural to be defensive, you know, to be like, oh, but I'm good. I really care. And I laugh because it hurts to say that, because I know it, you know, I want to do so much more than just defend. I want to be a part of helping change it.
And I'm just going to repeat the name of that book, because I think a lot of people are looking for more education and more information. It was My Grandmother's Hands, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
By Resmaa Minicum, R-E-S-M-A-A, Minicum, M-E-N-A-K-E-M. And, you know, he really advises in the book, and also I've had from experience, I could not be doing this work by myself. I am doing it in community with other people who are interested in sitting with and looking at how systems of oppression have and how historical trauma has affects the way that I interact in the world, or the way that, you know, the lens that I see through. That's, you know, it's like, you know, I could not be doing this without being with other people and in a group setting weekly talking about this, because, you know, it's really easy to avoid talking about racism when you're a white-bodied person, because it's not really something in general we talk about, except for in times like this where something is so obviously wrong, when there's a video of, you know, power over that is so blatantly not treating this man, George, as a man, as a human. You know, he's being treated like something other. You know, I just keep thinking about, you know, the experience in my body of I cannot imagine him as a white man being, you know, with the police officer kneeling. Mm-hmm. I just can't see it. Why? Because we're used to seeing black bodies hurt, and there's this, we're not used to seeing, you know, white bodies treated this way. And why? You know, because we have a history. We have a history of telling the story that, you know, certain people are, don't matter as much, you know? And, oh, there's so much pain in that. If I really let myself feel that, oh, I don't want to think that somebody's worth less than me. You know, and my body can respond with that training. And I have to really understand that it's my job to heal myself as much as I can, so I don't pass on, you know, some of these things to my daughter so that I can be an advocate, an ally in the community for change, so that I can, you know, do for, you know, my friends' children who, you know, are, it's, I feel like our future depends on us learning how to heal.
And for you, it seems like music is definitely a part of that.
Oh, it's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, for me, it's the way. It's in addition to, you know, action, which I'm finding is also, but it's a form of action, you know, creating songs and singing them. And, you know, it's vibration. It's, you know, the healing. It's so healing to sing, you know, especially when we sing together. And, but yeah, I could play another song for you.
We can do that. We can do that. Can we talk about the album a little bit?
And, oh, sure.
About making the album?
Heck yes.
So it was in the works for a couple of years, did you say, before you released it?
Yes.
And who did you, recorded it with? Steve, is that right?
Yep,
Steve Call.
Yep, here in Minneapolis. Yep,
and he's in the Brass Messengers, I believe, among other things. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've met Steve before. So tell me about working with Steve, and did you have all the songs ready before you went to record, or was it a process? How did that work?
I did. I had all of these songs plus a few other songs ready, and I was trying to figure out, like, I knew that I wanted the album to be called Ordinary Love. And I wanted to record here in town. Those were two creative containers, I guess, you know. And once I found Steve through working with a wonderful duo called the OK Factor, they're a string duo, violin and cello. I knew that he would be great to work with. And so I decided that, you know, I would do the album with him and work with the OK Factor at, you know, for some of the string parts as I was playing with them live, and then find some other musicians here in town. I've been working a lot for a lot of my other records have been out in New York, and I've been working with musicians and a producer out there who I really love, Ben Wish, who I would love to make another record with someday. And I just thought, you know, I don't know all the wonderful musicians that are here as well as I would like to. You know, I would love to spend a little more time at home. And also I wanted to take time with this record, and I knew that having it local would be helpful. I'm a mom. I have a family, and, you know, they like for me to be home and I can be home. And so, yeah, I just, all those elements, you know, and thinking about how I wanted the sound to be was more experimentation. I knew that I wanted to have a folk bass, you know, because I'm, you know, contemporary folk is sort of the container that I put my music in. But at the same time, how do you, you know, with every record, I want to stretch a little bit, expand a little bit, you know, have it explore, have it feel alive and new and fresh in some way. And so, yeah, that was just playing.
Well, fun. All right. Well, let's hear another song from the album. What do you want to play?
Sure. Well, this is a song that I wrote thinking about my work with my grandmother's hands, and also thinking about how much I like to feel settled, like I know things and like I've got the answer, you know. And I'm not sure there's one answer we can get here, you know, to find our way. Start where you are, head in your hands, cotton in your ears, stone in your heart. Start where you are, ocean in your eyes, Tears are like rain inside a bigger sky. Oh, there is a change coming on. Oh, there is a chance to wake up to what is going on. Start where you are, thinking you know, falling on your face, you can see the road. Start where you are, wherever it is. Loving can break your heart, but fear will do you in. Oh, there is a change coming on. Oh, there is a chance to wake up to what is going on. Start where you are. Ooh. Start where you are. I say to myself, telling the truth is loving, even when it's hell. Start where you are. Stretch open your mind. Oh, that's how we'll come together. Well, can we come together? 'Cause oh, there is a change coming on. Oh, there is a chance to wake up to what is going on. Start where you are.
That's Ellis on this virtual live from Studio A, Ellis Delaney, and another tune from that new album, Ordinary Love. So before COVID-19 hit, Ellis, how much would you have been touring this year?
Oh, gosh, this year I would have been doing more. I was planning on 2 weekends a month. I was planning on going out and supporting this new record. So I don't know what that means. Touring life has really changed for me since I had a child, and over the years I've kind of played around with touring a little bit more focused, in a focused way, and just going to the places where I knew people would come out. You know, live performance has really been changing anyway in the last few years, just because of other entertainment, other ways for people to experience escape and so live concerts, you know, have been really a challenge for a lot of folks anyway, you know, really filling venues. And so it's been important for me to just continue to support those areas that I already have a strong following. And then my hope is to, like, you know, with this new record, start going to some of those places I haven't visited in a little while. Yeah.
And you mentioned that you've spent a lot of time, like, out east. Is that where you have a lot of fans?
Oh, actually out west. I have a lot of fans in Colorado. I love Colorado. It's like a second home. And, you know, I've got some strong following that's growing in Texas, where I'm from originally. And that's really warms my heart because I love going back there. And then I also have Oregon and, I would say Washington too, but I haven't visited Washington in a while, so I'd have to remind those folks about me, you know, but just thinking about, you know, the really they're out west, you know, is where I have a lot of, you know, there are a couple festivals in particular that have supported me. And so, yeah.
So is that something like you've done a handful of, virtual shows, it sounds like. And did you get some satisfaction out of being able to do that and play for fans, or is it just not quite the same? Or,
you know, Christine, it's not quite the same, but I tell you what, it's so much better than nothing. I feel so happy performing. It's one of my favorite places to be in the world is on the stage, and, you know, to be with an audience. And while that's not quite the same, looking at a computer, one eyeball that's not even really an eyeball, you know, and just seeing people's comments shoot up, they're still, I feel people. I feel their presence. I see their name. I feel that connection, and it really matters. And I think, and I make up, and people have told me that it matters to them too. That it feels like it's valuable, even though it's not the same. It's helping.
Well, and I've found it really interesting that the wide variety of artists that are doing virtual things. So suddenly I'm watching Richard Thompson in his living room performing, or the Indigo Girls, you know, in somebody's living room. And that feels pretty amazing, actually. Like, oh my gosh, I turn on Facebook and all of a sudden somebody, you know, this amazing performer just pops up. And so, you know, also it gives your fans from all over the place, I would imagine, the chance to tune in and see you perform when you might not have been to their town in a while or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have fans in Australia and Germany and England and New Zealand who really love my music so much, and they are beside themselves excited because they haven't seen me perform before.
So have you've never been able to tour to those places?
No.
Oh my goodness. Well, I hope you get there someday after all of this. All this is what, when the world is a safer place out there.
Right.
Well, thank you so much. And doing these virtual sessions is also not quite the same, but I'm really glad that we get to do them. And I'm really glad that we got to talk about that new album of yours, Ordinary Love. And you said that you do have a live stream coming up on July 1st. Is that right?
Yep.
And where can people find information about that?
Oh, gosh, you can find information if you go to ellisdelaney.com. And also, you can find me on Facebook, too. Ellis Delaney is my regular person name. Ellis Music is my band name. But, that you know, I'm trying to populate both pages similarly. And the Desert Island show on the first is going to be a fun show because I'm going to be talking about 10 albums that I would bring to a desert island with me. And wow, is it hard to pick just 10 records.
Oh, that's right. That's what you're talking about. It's a show with KFAI, who is in the Ampers Network along with us, KUMD. And it's a show that they do where you're talking and sharing your Desert Islands album. Yeah, that would be tough, I can imagine.
Oh my gosh. I just am. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, gosh, you know, I can I have a backup? Can I have like a mixtape that I bring also that has all my favorite, you know? So we'll see.
Well, thank you so much. And we're going to wrap up with a cut from the album, and it's going to be the title track. After I do the little outro, is there anything that you'd like to say about that title track, Ordinary Love, before we play that?
Oh, just that I feel like that song is so much about not just the relationship between two people who love each other, but also about relationship to community. You know, this idea that we can do this. We can find our way through this difficult time and choose to do it, to show up again and again. to keep coming home.
Yeah. Well, and there are so many instances of you know, on the album, a lot of community, a lot of family, a lot, you know, you talk about parenthood a lot on the album, and it just is really, has a really just very warm and feeling of connection. And yeah, it sounds like that's kind of what is wrapped up in this particular song.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Alice. It's really been a pleasure to talk to you. And we'll hear that tune in just a minute.
Thank you, Christine.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen and Chris Harwood, and funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To listen to past sessions or to see upcoming guests, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.